Blog Talk Radio.
You are my protector, and you are my provider, and my deliverer. There's no other help I know. You are my protector, and you are my provider, and my deliverer.
Good News Media Productions presents What a Word from the Lord. Your host this evening will be Stevie R. Butler. The show is dedicated to spreading the truth of God's Word, rightly dividing the Word of Truth. Feel free to call us live at 713-955-0508. If you'd like to email us your questions or comments or concerns, you can email us at goodnewsmediaproductions@gmail.com. You can also call our business line at 336-525-5843. Now, this show is brought to you by loving, faithful members of Churches of Christ around the world. If you need help finding a local congregation, please email or call us, and we would be more than willing and happy to assist you. Again, take out your Bibles and follow along, because you're listening to What a Word from the Lord.
Radio broadcast, News Media Production presents What a Word for Stevie R. Butler. And this show is being broadcast in the great state of Carolina. For tonight, I just want to give a word. Kind, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for blessing us to go through the various activities of the day, and you place it on our hearts to in our lives that we are on this broadcast, and pray that the things you said on tonight will be in accord with thy will and according to thy word. We pray that some soul will hear the need hear the gospel tonight and see the need to obey the gospel of Christ before it's everlasting and eternally too late. Pray that you'll continue to bless us and love us and protect us all the days of our lives. You've been faithful unto death. We pray that you will save us. Because in Christ's name we do ask it all. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight I'd like to bring a lesson from Genesis chapter 17. And we'll look at a few verses here, verses 1 through 5. Let's see if we can gain from our tonight. Genesis 17, verse 1. And the Bible says he was 90 years old and man. The Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am the Almighty God. And be my covenant between me and thee, and multiply thee. Behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram. Thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a reason that God promised Abraham to be the father of many nations, as I read in our lesson text. The Hebrews came from him through his son Isaac. While Arabian Muslims regard him as their ancestor through Ishmael. And of course, all Christians are spiritual descendants of Abraham through Christ, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 29. No wonder his name was changed from Abram, meaning exalted father, to meaning father of a multitude, as we see in our lesson text in Genesis chapter 17 and verse 5. A study of the various promises God made to this man reveals his importance to the overall plan of salvation revealed throughout the entirety of the scriptures. And on tonight, we'd like to discuss a subject: God's promises to Abraham. God's promises to Abraham. And that's what we want to look at in our lesson on tonight. Abram, that his descendants will be a great nation. And we find in Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, and Genesis chapter 13, verse 16, chapter 17, verse 6, and also Genesis chapter 18 and verse 18. This promise was fulfilled when Abraham's descendants, through his son Isaac and grandson Israel, became a nation of great numbers during their time in Egypt. Genesis 46 and verse 3, Exodus chapter 1 and verse 7, and Deuteronomy 26 and verse 5. A nation which would become great and powerful under the directions of godly leaders such as Moses, Joshua, and David, who directed Abraham's descendants to faithfully serve the Lord. Along these same lines, the Lord also commanded Abram to leave his country and family and travel to the land that I will show you, Genesis chapter 12 in verse 1, the land of Canaan, Genesis chapter 12, verse 5 and 6. At that point, God promised Abram, to your offsprings I will give this land. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 7. A promise he kept centuries later, starting during the days of Joshua, Joshua chapter 21, verses 43 through 45, and ending in the days of Solomon, and 2 Chronicles chapter 9 and verse 26, and also 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 56. This promise was based on the condition that Abraham's descendants remained faithfully obedient to Jehovah. And this is a point that is often overlooked. The promises that God made to Abraham and his descendants was conditional that they would remain faithful, obedient to the God of heaven. Joshua chapter 23, verses 14 through 16, and Leviticus chapter 26, verses 14 through 45. And also Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 15 through 68. Ladies and gentlemen, Old Testament history reveals how Abraham's descendants repeatedly fell away from the Lord and, as a result, repeatedly lost control of their land and were taken into forcible foreign captivity. Judges, in the book of Judges, we see this, and also 1st and 2nd Kings and 1st and 2nd Chronicles, the book of Jeremiah and the book of Lamentations, etc. With the ultimate destruction of their claim to Canaan, delivered to them by God through Rome after they rejected Christ as the Messiah, Matthew chapter 21, verses 33 through 46, and also Matthew 23, verses 29 through 39, Mark chapter 13, verses 1 through 30, Luke chapter 19, verses 41 through 44, and chapters 23, verses 27. 31. After the abominations visited upon them by Rome in the latter part of the first century AD, Abraham's descendants through Israel could never again lay complete claim to the land possessed by their ancestors. Even today, after the United Nations work to reunite Jews with the land known in biblical times as the Promised Land, in an effort to help them recover from the horrors visited upon them during the Holocaust of World War II, Abraham's descendants through Israel daily fight numerous enemies from the nations surrounding them in order to hold on to just a small fraction of the land originally promised by God. Since the days of the Truman administration, many in this country and elsewhere believe that the United States and other allies of Israel should help her retake Canaan's land primarily because it is the will of God. However, political pundits and Congress claim that Israel currently has a divine right to the land directly east of the Mediterranean, overlook the fact that God's promise to Abraham was conditioned upon his descendants' continual loyal obedience to him, a condition which they failed to keep time and time again. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 32. Abraham and his wife Sarah, or Sarah, as she would later be named in Genesis 17 and verse 15, were childless when scriptures first introduce us to them in Genesis chapter 11, verse 26 through 30. By promising to make of him a great nation, Genesis chapter 12 and verse 2, God in effect was promising Abram's offspring, Genesis chapter 13, verses 15 and 16. After Jehovah declared himself to be Abram's shield and promising him that his reward shall be very great, Genesis 15 and verse 1, Abram pointed out that he was still childless and that his current heir was his servant's Eliezer of Damascus, Genesis 15 and verse 2. The Lord then promised Abram that your very own son shall be your heir, rather than Eliezer, in Genesis 15 and verse 4. They declared that offspring would be compared to the innumerable stars of heaven, Genesis chapter 15 and verse 5. Abram believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6. A passage quoted by centuries later by Paul to prove the Judaizers that one under Christ's covenant were not required to do the works of Moses' law in order to be justified in Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 25, and quoted by James to show that a person is justified by works of obedience to the commandments of God in addition to faith, James chapter 2, verses 20 through 24. Abram's faith in God's promises to give him offsprings was not always constant, however. This is shown in the numerous times he dishonorably presented Sarah as his sister, rather than as his wife in efforts to preserve his life from those who he feared would take it. Genesis chapter 12, verses 10 through 20, also chapters 20, verses 1 through 18. It is sadly ironic that due to Abraham's resorting to lying because of a lack of faith that God would keep him safe in order to keep his promise of granting offsprings to him, the son God promised to him would eventually follow his father's sinful example and lie about his own marital standings in order to save his life, even after God made him a similar promise in Genesis 26, verses 1 through 11. May Christian parents today heed this lesson and be warned about the power of their own example and the influence it has on our children even today. Abram and Sarah's faith in God's promise to give him offspring was shown to be weak on another occasion when Sarah convinced him to obtain a child through marriage to her servant Hagar in Genesis chapter 16, verses 1 through 4. This polygamous union resulted in the conception and birth of Ishmael, Genesis chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, which in turn caused considerable strife in Abraham's family both then and in the years to come, Genesis chapter 16, verses 4 through 6, and chapters 21, verses 8 through 11. However, God was able to use their weak faith and the sin that resulted from it. Centuries later, he would inspire the Apostle Paul to use this polygamous marriage of Abram and Sarah and Hagar and the two sons that resulted from them to them as an allegorical illustration, illustrating the differences between the Mosaic covenant and Christ's covenant in order to show the superiority of the latter in Galatians chapter 4, verses 21 through 31. He also used this sinful episode to fulfill his promise to make Abraham the father of many nations, as according to our lesson text, Genesis chapter 17 and verse 5, by causing Ishmael also to be the ancestor of a great nation in Genesis chapter 16, verses 7 through 12, and also Genesis 21, verses 12 through 21. Yet the strife resulting in Abram's and Sarah's lack of faith in God's promises is felt even today, as we see Isaac and Ishmael's descendants still at war with each other. One cannot imagine how different the world would be if Abram and Sarah's faith had been stronger and they had decided to wait for God to fulfill his promise to them on his own time. Psalms 25 and verse 3, and also Psalms 27 and verse 14. On yet another occasion, Sarah's faith in God's promises was shown to be lacking still. Genesis chapter 8, 1 through 8, chapters 18, verse 22, and also Genesis 19 and verse 1. Even though God had already specifically promised Abraham that Sarah would bear him Isaac in their old reads Genesis 17, 15 through 19. Sarah laughed to herself when she heard the Lord repeat the promise to Abraham and wondered how she and Abraham could conceive after menopause. Genesis chapter 18, verses 9 through 12. God called Sarah on the lack of her faith and showed that was shown by her laughter, even though she initially denied that she had laughed. Genesis chapter 18, verse 13 and verse through verse 15 fulfilled his promise to them in spite of her laughter. And she bore Abraham a son in their old age, naming him Isaac, which means he laughs. Genesis 21, verses 1 through 7. Interestingly, by telling Abraham to give the promised son that particular name, even before the episode in which Sarah laughed, Genesis 17, verse 19, God proved that he knew of Sarah's reaction in advance and yet gave the promise and the blessing of children to her and to Abraham anyway, the morning, to his love, his grace, and his patience. Matthew chapter 5, verses 44 and 45. In spite of these lapses on the part of Abraham and Sarah, their overall faith in the promises of God stands as an example for us even today. Their faith in God's promises was what prompted him to obey his extremely difficult command to leave their home and family to travel to an unknown and distant land. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 and 9, and Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 5. Ladies and gentlemen, Sarah's faith in God's promises, even though proved to be weak on at least two occasions, as we've seen in our study, was still the reason the Lord kept his promise to her. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 11 and 12. As a result, Sarah is the spiritual mother of Christian women who follow her example of respectful, pure, modest, quiet conduct even today. Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Likewise, Abraham's faith in God's promises of numerous offsprings gave him the strength to obey the extremely burdensome command that God gave to him to test his faith when God told him to sacrifice his son Isaac. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 17, Genesis 22, verses 1 through 12. Abraham's faith in God's promises was so strong that he considered that God would resurrect Isaac in order to keep his promises to him. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 18. Thus, Abraham's faith exemplifies what true obedience to God is all about. James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. The times when their faith were weak also serve as a warning for us to be watchful when we think we are strong. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11 and 12. Undoubtedly, the most significant and important promise God made to Abraham is found in the statement, "In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed." Genesis 22, verse 18, Genesis 26, verse 4, Genesis 28, verse 14, and Genesis 12 and verse 3. Peter pronounced this prophecy fulfilled in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Acts chapter 3, verse 17 through 26, and Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15 through 19. Later, Judaizing Christians who believed salvation to be dependent upon adherence to the law of Moses sought to limit this promise to those who were either physical descendants of Abraham or to Gentile Christians who were circumcised and kept the Mosaic commandments, Acts chapter 15 and verse 1. This episode prompted the Apostle Paul to address the issue in his letter to the Galatians by first stating those who have faith are sons of Abraham, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 7, thereby being his true descendants. God's promise to Abraham that in him all the nations would be blessed was fulfilled when God justified the Gentiles by faith, proving that in a sense, Abraham has had the gospel preached to him centuries earlier, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8, Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3. And that under the Christian covenant, Jews or Gentiles who believed in God as Abraham did are blessed just as he was, Galatians 3 and verse 9, John chapter 8 and verse 39. Romans chapter 4, verse 11 through 12, and Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 10. Those Jews who tried to be justified by the Mosaic law, according to Romans chapter 9 and verse 31, and also chapter 10 through 13, would be under a curse, Paul would say in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10. Deuteronomy chapter 27 and verse 26, and Romans chapter 3 verses 10 through 19. They would not find justification through works of the Mosaic economy, which required perfect obedience, but rather through faith, as the old covenant itself foretold. Galatians chapter 3 verse 11 and 12, and Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 4. Paul went on to clarify that true sons of Abraham would have faith specifically in Christ by pointing out how Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us via his crucifixion. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, 1 Peter 2, and verse 24. Therefore, it would be only in Christ Jesus that the blessings of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, in order for them to receive the promised spirit through faith, Galatians chapter 3, verse 14, and also Acts chapter 2, verses 38 and 39. This is why Paul would specify how the promises God had made to Abraham did not say, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verse 16, Genesis chapter 12, and verse 7. The Apostle Paul later taught that the true heirs of Abraham are those who have become sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, John chapter 1, verse 12, and Romans chapter 10, and verse 9. And this happened when they put on Christ through baptism into Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 8. This is why Christians are Abraham's offsprings. They're Abraham's heirs according to the promise. Galatians chapter 3, verses 29. And may we as Christians continue to preach God's promises to Abraham, to others, so they may become heirs as well, as per the Great Commission, Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, and receive forgiveness and eternal life. But ladies and gentlemen, I would be remiss if I would conclude a lesson such as this and not extend the invitation of the Lord. If you are not a child of God, and one cannot be a child of God until you are a Christian, as the Bible teaches, then you are lost outside of Christ. It's not enough to be religious. You must obey the commands of the Lord. In order for a man to be saved, you must take heed and answer the gospel call. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14. You must hear the gospel. John chapter 6 and verse 45. Romans chapter 10 verses 14 and 17. And the facts of the gospel are the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 1 through 3. You must believe the same. James chapter 2 and verse 24. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. The Hebrew writer says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a reward of them that diligently seek him. You must repent. Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5, Jesus said, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you will all likewise perish. And Paul says in Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, that God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. You must confess your faith in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. Jesus said, if you don't confess me before men, I will not confess you before my Father. And you must be baptized in water for the remission or the forgiveness of your sins. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Acts 10 and verse 48. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. And if you are a Christian and you have not been faithful in your service to God, you can repent and pray. Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for spending a little time with me on this evening. And it is my prayer that this lesson tonight has been beneficial to your spiritual life and your relationship with the Lord. And I pray God's continual blessings upon your lives. Good night, everybody. From the Lord with Stevie R. Butler, episode number 9.